Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Today, we're going to be in Hebrews again. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to get to Hebrews 10. I'm actually going to go through 26, but the last couple of verses is going to be our closing. But primarily, we're going to go verse by verse through chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. If you were here last week, and my title today is A Better Sacrifice. Last week, it was A Better Covenant. Today is A Better Sacrifice. Last week, we talked about the better covenant God made with us through our faith in Jesus. This week, we focus on the sacrifice that made that covenant possible. There couldn't be a covenant without the sacrifice. There couldn't be a covenant without this blood, the sacrifice that was made by Jesus. There was a payment in blood that had to be made. It's something we don't like in our culture. It's not something we know. This book, Hebrews, was written to a Jewish culture who understood the sacrificial system. We're so detached from that. We're like, well, does it need to be paid? Well, Hebrews 9:22 says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And hear this. I'm going to try to make as much eye contact as I can. Because you know I love that. Okay. Sin is not just the problem for those people. Sin is our problem. If you're sitting in this room and you just took a breath, sin is your problem, and that sin has to be taken care of. That sin, the cost of that sin, which the penalty of sin is death, will lead you to one of two places, depending on what you do, heaven or hell. And our sin has to be paid for. So either we will allow, which is what we're going to talk about today, we'll allow Jesus to be that penalty paid for us, or we will pay it ourselves. And I don't mean pay it by your good works and you get yourself into heaven, because that does not work that way. Sin is our problem. Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us, even the person with the microphone up front. Jesus came to fix that problem once and for all. So the question this morning is, what sacrifice are you trusting in? What lamb are you carrying in? Let's pray. Father, anytime we talk about your sacrifice, we have to inwardly look at why you had to make that sacrifice. And so, Lord, as we talk about a better sacrifice, a once and for all sacrifice, help us be consciously aware of our own sin and need for you. Help us value this sacrifice that you made, because we understand our desperation and our need for a Savior. And so, Lord, I pray for those in this room that may be outside of the family of God and go, you know, why would God care about me? Lord, help them see the cross and your arms wide open, welcoming those who will trust in you. And so, Lord, would you speak through your word today? We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a reminder of where we've been, and I'm going to kind of encourage you, if you don't have one already, there's some on the table, and if we run out, we have some more in the back room. But we at Reach have these one-year Bibles, and they're not anything special necessarily. They're in the ESV translation. You can get them in other translations, but that's what I preach out of, and that's what we give away. But basically, if you open it up to today's date, you're going to get a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And if you read the entire book from cover to cover, you will read the entire Bible in a year, and actually read through Proverbs, I think, twice, and I think Psalms twice also. And predominantly throughout the year, I'm going to preach out of something that you read this week. And this was at the end, beginning of this week, end of last week. Because we believe that the Word of God is what transforms us. The Word of God is the only place that we can know for sure the truth of God. And I want you to trust me, but I don't want you to only trust me. I want you to get in that Word. I want you to know that Word, because that Word will bring you life. And if your expectation is that I'm going to come in once a week and get my fill up and leave and be all right, let me give you a practical application of that. Go to whatever buffet you want this afternoon and eat as much as you want. Eat it. I'm talking about eat it until you got to, like, crawl out of there. And then don't eat anything else until next Sunday. If your body craves food, and it will, you may not want to eat on Monday, but I'm telling you what, on Tuesday, you'd be like, I need something. Our soul craves that same thing. We just silence. Because you know what? If you do that physically with food, if you stop eating at some point, and I've done this, I've done a longer fast before, at some point your body just stops asking for it. Like, you're mentally, you're like, ooh, I'd love to eat something, but your body isn't like, oh, I need this thing. We, as a culture, specifically in the U.S., we starve our spirit, so we're like, man, I don't feel that hunger. The hunger's there, and that spiritual part of you is just like your physical body, it is withering away without that food. And so I'd encourage you to get into the Word. And if you don't have one, and if you want a regular Bible, if you're looking for that, we have those free out there to grab one. So in Hebrews, the last, if you're just joining us, we've talked about Hebrews. This is the third thing we've talked about out of Hebrews. But the big theme of Hebrews is that Jesus is greater. The whole thing. Jesus is greater than everything else. And if we don't have that mentality, we'll look to something to be greater. And so leading up to, we were in 8 last week, but in chapter 7 of Hebrews, it is Jesus is the better priest. And if you've got a better priest, you're going to get a better covenant. And if you have a better priest and a better covenant, you're going to have a better sanctuary, not just this thing that has been erected out of a shadow to represent what God has intended. And today we're going to get into that we get a better sacrifice. So starting in verse 1. Since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Look at this. This is free. Not my notes, so second service may not even get this. It is this just the shadow of the good things instead of the true form of those realities. We live on the other side of that, and we don't have to speculate. We don't have to, like, is it good enough? Have I been there? Have I done enough? We get to know His fullness in that reality. Matthew Henry says this, the law gave only a shadow, not the substance. Its sacrifices pointed forward to Christ, but never provided the real cleansing. It's the rough sketch of grace, not the finished portrait. And that's what the Old Testament should do for you. It should cause a hunger that's saying, it's not enough. Not saying God isn't enough, but God has always been pointing to Jesus from beginning to end. If you're confused by all of the stuff that happened in the Old Testament, look at it through this lens. Every single word of it was making a way for Jesus. Every single piece of it is pointing to the better. Not that that is bad, because it was us. Remember we talked about last week, the covenant wasn't bad. It was us. We couldn't fulfill what the covenant was necessary. It was us promising to God. The new covenant is God promising to us. Warren Wiersbe says this, the Levitical system was like a dim preview of what was to come. It showed man's need for a Savior, but could never meet that need. He calls the law a mirror revealing sin, not a ladder to reach God. Let me just tell you, if you read the Bible, and if you really look at it, and you really weigh you will realize that you are missing something. You are flawed and sinful. And that's great. Like, sometimes we don't want to talk about our sin. We want to talk about our sin. Your sin is a trap that is ruling. Sin, here, if you don't, sin is always killing. Satan come to kill, and destroy. Destroy. That's what sin is doing in us. And God is saying, I want to give you freedom for this. That freedom you could never have for yourself by your work or your effort. We see that through the Old Testament, failure after failure after failure. But you trust in me, and you let me change that heart of stone and put a heart of flesh, and there's a possibility. See, religion without Christ is shadow play. Only Jesus gives substance, meaning, and rest, which we're going to talk about a little bit. Verse 2. Otherwise, and remember, this is talking about the sacrifice they had to make every year. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered if they were fulfilling it? Since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin, but in the sacrifice there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. You may sit in on this side of the covenant and go, man, I would love to no longer have a consciousness of my sin. And this isn't saying that it's removed. It is in this, in the Old Testament, it was only a reminder that we need help. And we're not ultimately forgiven by that blood. It would only be a reminder pointing to something else. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, under Jesus, we have not necessarily been, it's not gone. Remember, we talked about this last week. It's not forgotten, but it's not held against us. So our conscience before the Father can be cleansed, not because we have been perfect in it, but because we're trusting Jesus' righteousness over us. We stand before the Father clothed in His Son. And if we look at this correctly, if you wonder, how can I stand before God as me, we can't. But you can stand before the Father, you wearing His Son. I know that seems weird. But when He looks at you, He's not looking at your faults and failures like you are. He's looking at you through the lens of His Son, who lived perfectly and righteously, and that's the credit that we get. I mean, can you imagine what our life would look like if we lived like that, not cocky or arrogant because it wasn't our work, but by the grace of God, like He's looking at me through a lens that I can walk through and be free from. The sacrifices were continual reminders of sin. Every time you took that little sweet animal, and some of them, they knew them. Like, you know, you name animals. Could you imagine? My little dog is lucky, and he has the worst breath in the world. If you've been to my house, you'd know all about it. But, like, I would never, even with his breath, which I wish he wouldn't breathe on me, could you imagine taking this thing that you knew you raised from, you know, we got him, and he was like this big. He's a little fat right now. Need to take him for a walk. But it was a reminder when you walked in that that was the cost of your sin. Blood was going to be shed. And there it wasn't even perfecting it. It wasn't done. It was a reminder. The next year you would have to come back. The next time, animal blood it could cover, but it couldn't cleanse. God designed this repetition to make Israel long for the perfect Redeemer, long for what was coming. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, was the holiest day of the year, yet it had to happen every year, showing humanity's endless debt. The law was the tutor leading us to Christ. Every priestly act whispered something greater is to come. Religion can show us our sin, but not save us from it. Don't live in the shadows. Run to the substance. There's this theme over and over again. Don't settle for what is just pictured. Settle for the real thing. Are you trusting your own repeated efforts to say to God, look, I'm good? Only Christ can finish that work for us. Verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but the body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. It was what was required if you were going to be a good Jew, if you were going to live under that grace of God. Verse 9, then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. Christ voluntarily entered the world. He was not forced. Depending on, you know, how deep theologically you dig, there's a segment of Christian culture that doesn't like the payment that Jesus made. They were like, oh, you know, God ends up being a cosmic child abuser. Which, if that's true, then you really don't understand the Trinity. It's not like the Son was forced to go to the earth and play this part because the Father required it, even though it was necessary for our forgiveness. It was Him willfully, willingly going. His body was prepared. Well, His body was God's perfect instrument for redemption. He came not to add to the old system, but to replace it completely. The sacrificial system did not work. Christ's incarnation was God's ultimate plan. He takes away the first to establish the second. His obedience fulfills what all the bulls and goats could never do. He became the sacrifice. Warren Wiersbe says this, twice in this paragraph that we just read, the writer stated that God had no pleasure in the old covenant sacrifices. He does not suggest that old sacrifices were wrong or that sincere worshipers received no benefit from obeying God's law. It only means that God had no delight in sacrifices as such apart from the obedient hearts of the worshipers. No amount of sacrifices could substitute for obedience. In the old system, you could carry in that lamb, and we do this in the church now. We could carry in that little thing and do our little religious part and expect God to give me what He promised, which is forgiveness, but have no penetration here. We just do it out of, some of us are in church right now because we just expect that we must be here if God's going to be happy with us. But He wants the sincerity of what we offer, not just what we offer. It wasn't that. He was looking for obedient hearts that were willing to worship continually the God who loves. The author here quotes Psalms 40 to prove his point. Psalms 40 is a psalm of David. It is, in its original context, David contrasts external religion with heart obedience. I tell you, we love religion. And I mean the bad. Because the religion's on our part. Like, we're going to do our part, and then God owes. It's this equation. We're going to do this, and we're going to get. God wants us to be willing to be loved by Him, and that be enough. I mean, there's blessings galore for us. I'm not saying God is not good, but God, if He gave you nothing else other than His Son's sacrifice, was good enough to you. If we understand the sacrifice, that is true. Christianity is not about what we bring to God, but about what Christ brought to us. We have to learn to stop trying to earn what Jesus already secured. It'd be like you having a birthday party and people bring you gifts and you try to give them money out of your pocket, which we don't do this. They're like, oh, a gift. Oh, let me give you, you know, pennies on the dollar for what you spent for that thing because you feel this like whatever. We do this to God too. He throws this great, beautiful gift before us and we throw out our little pocket change and a little bit of lint and think we're equal. Not the case. Look at it through this. The old covenant was like paying interest every month on a debt, like a school loan. Anybody got those? Just every month, and it's never going away. Every month. Or I'm gonna hurt some feelings, especially leading into Christmas season. Or making that minimum payment on that credit card that will never be paid off. Because that interest is just adding. That's basically what the old system was like. You were trying to pay a debt that was never going to be paid. And if you're doing that on your credit card, please stop. Please stop. I mean, marriages get ruined over money all the time. Like, stop. That thing, and I love Amazon, y'all know me. That little box will not give you what you're looking for. Jesus came and paid off the principal in full. Now the account reads paid in full. That's what he did. That's why we have a clear conscience, not because of what we've done, but because what he's done, and we operate out of that reality if we're living and trusting in faith in him. Verse 10. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This explains how salvation works. Here's how salvation works in its simplest form. God willed it. Christ accomplished it, and we receive it. That will refers back to God's sovereign plan and purpose expressed in verse 9. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. And for those that have never heard this before, go back and read later Genesis 3:15. Because sometimes you're like, what was God doing? What was happening? Like, why didn't he fix this? Genesis 3:15, which, you know, is the beginning of the story. You see this plan that he had. He's going to crush your heel and I'm going to crush his head. There was this plan in place. God was working this to his end. It is God's redemptive will, his desire and design that sinners be reconciled through Christ's obedience and sacrifice. Salvation is not man's plan to reach God, but God's plan to reach man. But we try on our part. And I'm not necessarily trying to get you to stop doing religious things. I just want you to start doing them for the right reason. I want you to do all the things that God's calling you to do, but I want you to make sure, because my fear, honestly, my fear is that people will call reach home and serve and give and do all the stuff and miss Jesus. Because churches all across America have a lot of people in them. And this is not judgment. Paul says that we better work out our salvation with fear and trembling. They have a lot of people in them that are going to breathe their last breath and wake up somewhere that they weren't expected. Just to be honest, and I don't want that to be anyone that's sitting in this room and texts like today help solidify what gets you there. We don't negotiate grace, we receive it. Because it's rooted in God's will, our salvation is secure as his character. Sanctified, this Greek word, which I will not try to pronounce, got way too many letters in it. Starts with an H and ends with an I. It means made holy, set apart, consecrated. He's made you this way. He has set you apart. Not you. You're not set apart because of what you did. You're set apart because of what he's done. In this verse, when it refers to that word, It is in, and this is something, you know, like, I'm not super smart, but, like, I have programs that tell me all this stuff about original languages. I do not speak Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic, so don't get me to translate that for you, because I don't know. But tenses are important. And we don't see that necessarily in our English Bibles, but in this verse, it is in the perfect tense. And you're like, great. What does that mean? Okay, meaning a completed action with continuing results. So it's not like, oh, it happened, we experienced, that sanctification didn't just happen, we experienced, and it goes on. It's something that is happening for all of those who are followers of Jesus that decide to follow Him. Your sanctification is a process of you becoming like Christ. None of us are like Christ yet, wholly, completely. You may think you are, but you're not. And God's in the business of working that to its end. Verse 11, and every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. Could you imagine being over that? I'm glad I'm a minister in the new covenant versus the old. I mean, read through the Old Testament, the amount of blood that there must have been for these sacrifices, I cannot imagine. And they had to participate over and over again, knowing that next year, next week, next month, we'd be doing this again. That every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for the time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Praise the Lord. It is a hard process when it is your work. It's still a hard process when it's his work, but it actually works when it's his work. It doesn't work in ours. When it becomes our work, we become Pharisees. We become religious people that pride ourselves in what we do and not trusting, not looking to him, because we get arrogant and cocky. If we looked through this lens and realized that you bring nothing to the table other than your willingness to trust in Jesus, imagine how easy it would be to talk to someone outside that doesn't know Jesus. But when we look at ourselves and how clean and proper and how we don't use those words anymore and we don't watch those shows anymore and we don't drink that anymore and we don't have those apps on our phone anymore, keep going. You're like, why don't they just be like me? They'd be better people. And you look at them with judgment and something that you didn't even do. If you've been set free from something, and I'm not trying to discount you didn't do anything. I'm just saying that wouldn't happen. It wouldn't take root unless it was him, period. The priest stood because their work was never done. There was no rest in the work of the priest when the temple was in session. When it was working, it did not end. They continued it over, but Jesus sat down because his work was finished. Look at me. His work is finished. Finished. Like, he's not having to go back to the cross. Oh, I got to bleed a little extra for this guy. His work is finished. He's sitting down waiting when his enemies will, and he will. Let me just tell you, when you look at our world, and you look at Islam and all the stuff that's going on in our country and other countries, and you're like, oh man, we're losing. Nah. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to suffer. I'm not going to say that it isn't going to look like, but if this is true, and we preach it like it is, we win. No. Yeah. Some of us may die watching that happen. Like Charlie Kirk. Like, I don't know if y'all are aware of what's going on in Nigeria. Since 2001, I think it's over 100,000 people, Christians, have been martyred for their faith. Still, I think it's like, it's crazy. In just the last few months, literally, they're going through and wiping out man, woman, and child This is going on right now. This isn't like, oh man, people are dying for their faith right now, and we're protected from it. Let me just tell you, we had a pastor, a missionary from Africa that came, and when he was here, he made this unusual comment. He said, there's contentment in the water, and we're all drinking it. And we're like, it's good. I don't have to worry. That's way over there. I'm not prophetic, and I'm not asking for this, but it may be here one day. And we better know the God that we serve and be willing at all costs to serve Him, regardless of how we feel our life is being treated. Warren Wiersbe says this, standing versus sitting captures the difference between religion and redemption. We serve from rest, not for rest. And a lot of us are weary because we're serving so that we can rest instead of from rest serving, which is hard. Let me tell you, I struggle with this because it's real easy to get into the weeds of working in this role and work under my own flesh and my own will and my own ability instead of trusting in Jesus. There's been lots of seasons in my life that I have not experienced the rest that I have access to. When Christ sat down, He invited you to do the same. Rest your souls in His finished work. We don't fight for victory. We live from victory. Verse 15. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, and this is re-quoting Jeremiah 31, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After these days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and write them in their minds. And He adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. The Holy Spirit testifies to this new covenant, the promise, hundreds of years before. God no longer writes His will on stone, but He writes it on our heart. If we're looking from external, we run into trouble. We want God to do in us. And this is why I would say true religion is God changing our heart and then out of that, us being changed from the inside out. You cannot will yourself to be changed from the outside in. It doesn't work like that. Forgiveness is now personal, inward, and permanent. Real faith changes us from the inside out. You obey not to be accepted, but because you are accepted. Don't live under condemnation when God says, I remember your sins no more. If you're trusting in Jesus, stop digging up those things. Now, if those sins cause pain in someone else's life and you need to repent of that, deal with it, but don't sit in a sin that Jesus has paid for you. The enemy would love to come and whisper in your ears, remember? Remember? Some of you right now, when I just said that, you're reminded of it. And I just want to tell you, if you're God's child, that has been wiped clean. That debt is not held against you anymore. Don't live like it has. Verse 18. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. The cross ends all sacrifices. If they ever do rebuild the temple, and the Jews who are waiting still for a Messiah would probably reenact the sacrificial system, but we look to the cross being that finished story. Grace shuts down the old sacrificial system forever. So stop bringing your own sacrifices of guilt or performance. When Jesus says it is finished, He meant it for you. Live forgiven, live free, live in gratitude. So here's a question for you. We're almost closing here. And I'm not saying that like I got 10 more minutes. We're almost there. Sometimes preachers say that and they just keep going and going. Here's the question for you. What are you bringing to the altar? Old Testament, they brought their lamb. A lamb that would not satisfy the sin that they were coming to cover. Just a reminder, that they need a help greater than themselves? Or are you bringing Jesus, the once and for all sacrificial lamb? Because we'll live in one of these two lanes if you're going to walk in Christianity. We'll live in there that I have to bring to the table what is going to remedy, fix, heal, deal with this, or I'm going to trust in Jesus alone. And if you're still bringing the lamb, stop that one. Stop. Jesus was the last lamb offered. He was the once and for all sacrifice needed. Trust in Him and rest in that. Our worship team can come back up. I'm going to close with six more verses of Hebrews. This is like a bonus. I'm not going to go verse by verse. I think they're not that they're completely self-explanatory, but I think they cap off these 18 verses. And they're going to remind you two things, which I'll hit you at the end, and then we're going to pray. Starting in verse 19. And this is coming right off of what we just finished. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, remember, in the old system, there was the holy place that some priests were enter, and then there was the most holy place that only one priest would enter once a year, still having to bring blood for him for the forgiveness. So he's saying, let us with confidence enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. We weren't allowed there, we, the common people, but he's saying this to us. By this new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain. That's what separated us prior to the presence of God, that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience of our bodies, washed with pure water. I looked this up this morning, and they did this. When they did the first covenant, Moses took blood and he sprinkled it over the people. Just be a little bit. I have my white shirt on. And it was a cleansing. It was this idea like that the payment has been made. Receive it. Receive this payment. And I hopefully we do this every Sunday. Is we bring people into this place that they can be sprinkled clean. There is the availability of forgiveness for the sin that is so easily entangling you right now. And it's not by you, it's by Him. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Remember? Our faith will be challenged. Even in this country where contentment is in the water. For He who promised is faithful. It's not even, we don't even hold with confidence because we think we can do it. We hold with confidence because we know that He is faithful. And then listen to this in 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meeting together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. He has done it. Now let Him finish it in you. God is not going to force His way in. I believe that salvation comes when you willingly surrender and say, God, that's what I need. I know my brokenness. I know I need it. So we get sprinkled clean with the blood of Jesus and live in community with our brothers and sisters. And not only do we receive that, and this is the hard part. This is why community is in our name. And this is why I am thrilled that even though our announcement video is going on and everybody missed it, but you got it. I don't care about that at all. Is you will not get where you need to be, in my opinion. You will not get where you need to be without those two ingredients. One being sprinkled clean by Jesus, being forgiven, and living in community. And you may not know this, and you may not be friends of Reach, meaning you don't know anybody in here. You need people. And if you isolate yourself from people, it won't make life, it seems easier, but it will make life a whole lot more difficult. And so my encouragement for you today is those two things. What are you trusting in? What lamb are you bringing? Are you bringing your work, your penance, your payment, or his? That leads to death, and not a good one. This leads to life. So allow Jesus to sprinkle clean. We're going to pray in just a second. And then my encouragement after that, when we finish this song, and I see videos all the time for those that watch those little short videos, the same person that sits there like, I need community, is the same person when that song ends that you're like, boom! I need community. Well, the only way you're going to get community is hang out, linger, say hey to someone. Look, you got time in between second service. Linger. Linger. Say hey to somebody. That relationship may change your life. Let's pray. Father, you know where your future children are in this room. They're outside of your grace, outside of your forgiveness. And Lord, I pray without judgment, without condemnation, that you would call them into a relationship and a life with you, that they would acknowledge their need, their desperation, their sin, and their need for a Savior who came and gave the once and for all sacrifice. So Lord, would you welcome people into your kingdom, but for your sons and daughters that are struggling every day of which lamb they're bringing to the table, help us wake up every day and choose you again and again. And Lord, I pray for those people in this room that feel like I can, or me and my family can do it all. We don't need other people. Lord, I pray that you would put a burden on us that community is necessary for us to move in the kingdom that you've called us to. So Lord, receive our worship and let us be washed in your grace. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.